stretch across the sky and these hallelujahs be multiplied. May this offering, sharing your love with someone else, sharing your hope in your own life because of Jesus with someone else, could be a one sentence statement, is an offering. Let it stretch across the sky. In fact, what I think my interpretation of this is that when I share my hope with one person, it doesn't stop there. It goes clear across the sky. That person will tell someone else, and that person will tell someone else, and the ripple effect, one little pebble, phew, clear across the lake. Amen? Yeah. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs of mine be multiplied, that as I share my hope, others are going to go, hallelujah! Oh, I didn't know this was here. Amen. Thank you, David. Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In your Bible, in your phone, in your iPod, whatever you're using today. 1 Corinthians 15, and be ready for that. This sermon series today is about God's gospel. And the point of this series is this: as we gain confidence in the gospel message, our obedience to God increases, and our obedience, as our obedience increases, so does our fulfillment and our assurance that in Christ our lives matter. Your life matters. Do you know that? Raise your hand if you know your life matters in this world to someone else. Your life matters. As our fulfillment in Christ increases, the less we look for fulfillment in things of this world, and the more we gain a following faith in Christ that impacts individuals and nations. You don't know. Don't you ever say, I'm just one person. What I do doesn't matter. Don't you dare ever say that about you. Because really, that's not a statement so much about you as it is the power of Christ in you. Is that right? Power of Christ can't do much through me. That's hogwash. So it all starts. I'm gonna read this progress one more time. So just listen to this. As we gain confidence in the gospel message, which we're going to share a little bit later, our obedience to God increases. As our obedience increases, so does our fulfillment and our assurance that in Christ our lives matter. As our fulfillment in Christ increases, the less we look to the world for fulfillment in different things. How many things could a person be addicted to at the same time? A whole lot. And I would say that every one of us here is an addict of something. Something in our history. Maybe I'm an addict to laziness. When's the last time you read your Bible? Maybe I'm an addict to Facebook. Maybe I'm an addict to television or novels or whatever ways of escape I can find that I can seek some relief from, or some hope from, or some security from, whatever it is. The more our fulfillment in Christ increases, the less we look for fulfillment in things of this world, and the more we gain a following faith in Christ that impacts individuals and even nations. It all starts, however, with the power of the gospel. So let's remind ourselves what God says the gospel is. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Read it with me. The first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Now let me remind you, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and still do now, for your faith is built on this wonderful message. And it is this good news that saves you if you firmly believe it, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too, long after the others, as though I had been born the wrong time. Paul is saying, you guys, what Jesus said would happen did happen. He told the Pharisees, kill this temple or destroy this temple, 3 days they'll rebuild it. They're going, what? That's dumb. You can't do that. And he wasn't speaking of the temple in which he was standing. He was speaking of him, the temple of God. And he died, buried, rose 3 days later, and is returned to the right hand of his Father in heaven. That's the gospel. Okay, well, what does all that mean? We're going to examine that more today. That you can gain a following faith in Christ. Here's the gospel. Through Jesus' death, God has changed me. That's the justified piece. I am justified. We'll talk about that in a second. He is changing me. That's the sanctified piece, growing in Christ-likeness. Okay, everybody say that, growing in Christ-likeness. I'm growing in Christ-likeness. You just described sanctified. Growing in Christ-likeness. I'm not as much as I was yesterday, but I'm more than I am today, more than yesterday, and will be more tomorrow. There, I got it. And God is changing me. It's an ongoing process, and God is keeping me. God is keeping me. That's a key piece, isn't it? God is keeping me. Jesus told several stories starting with these words. The kingdom of heaven is like. He used these stories to teach the greatest value and benefits in life are experienced by living God's word in daily life. Jesus taught his disciples that the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven because the king is present. The king is present. Yeah. He's here. The kingdom of heaven is not somewhere else. It's here. That's exciting news. Here's an example of the kingdom of heaven is here and present. I'm reading out of John 15, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. The king is present. Remember, the king is present. He's here. He's doing something. He's doing something right now. So pay attention. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that bear fruit so that they will have even more. They will have even more. By the way, the difference between discipline and pruning is that discipline that we talk about in Hebrews 12, discipline is the removing of something bad. Bad habit, bad thoughts, things that hold you back. Pruning is the removing of something good so that you can even be better, that you can do more. Ever get to a place, you know, you got an exercise program and you're gonna lose X amount of pounds, right? And gain X amount of bulk and whatever, you know, tone up. And you get to a certain place, you go, oh, that's far enough. God's gonna prune. He says, no. I'm gonna take away that lazy attitude, okay? Discipline. I'm gonna discipline you, then I'm gonna prune. I'm gonna add even more. I'm going to do something different with you that you are going to be even better than you are now. God does that in a variety of ways, doesn't he? Does that in a variety of ways. Verse 3. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness, by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in me. Stay in the kingdom. and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I think the NIV says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, Jesus told a number of the kingdom of heaven is like stories. One of them was about a man who found a great treasure in a field, went home and did what? Sold everything so that he could go and do what? Buy the field because he wanted the treasure. Let me ask you, what did that man think that treasure would provide for him? What would it give him, add to his life? Okay. And what did he believe it would take away from him that he wouldn't have to worry about anymore? You see, we look to life. We look to all kinds of things. Oh, if I just have this, or if I just had that, or if I could just be this way, then all that bad stuff would be gone and I would gain this. There is one treasure like that. His name is Jesus. He lives in the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. Why? Because the King is here right now. The point of these stories is that God's kingdom of heaven is now on earth. But his kingdom is not a physical place on earth like a strong fortress. Instead, God's kingdom is the joy and fulfillment of living in a restored relationship with God. And that means that now you belong. You belong to God. Say that. I belong to God. Amen. I belong to God. See, you're talking gospel here. Do you get it? I belong. Life is really hard and it hurts. Maybe Jesus forgot all about me. No, 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 no. Satan is lying to you. I belong to my Father. He is here. He is present. He is the King. And I am one in the kingdom. God is Father. That means you are family when you get adopted in. You belong. God's kingdom is the joy and fulfillment of living in a restored relationship with God. That means you belong, you have family, you have purpose. The kingdom of heaven stories emphasize God's gospel, that through Jesus' death and resurrection, God has changed me, God is changing me, and God is keeping me. He's keeping you. That's the gospel. Okay? If I have to be afraid of making an effort to follow God and make a mistake and fail somehow, that God's going to be disappointed and turn his back on me, I don't know the gospel. I don't understand it. And if I believe that to be true, then I'm never going to take a step out in faith. I'm not going to take the risk. I'm trying to preserve what tenuous relationship I have with God. It's not to break it. Be very careful. You know, walk the tightrope. Don't fall off. Brothers and sisters, we'll never get outside our own walls that way. Because of the gospel, you belong to the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not a place. It's a relationship. God has fulfilled you. Now live fulfilled. Stop believing the junk you believe. What we believe to be true drives us. And that can be a great thing if it's true. It's a terrible thing if it's not. In order to gain confidence in God's gospel, we have been examining what happens when God restores your relationship with him. In part two of this sermon series 2 weeks ago, we talked about confident faith. We looked at what God has already done for me, how he has changed me, and how I've been justified. Today in part three, we look at how God is changing me and what God is now doing in me. I am being sanctified. God is sanctifying me. So in your outline is a sermon outline. There's a chart there. It says the gospel explained. Take that out and look at it. Okay. You see a top column there, a row across left to right. It says, I have been justified. That is, I have been changed. I have peace with God. Okay, your relationship with God has been established. What does that mean? In the past, I have been saved from the horrible penalty of sin and unending punishment in hell. I want you to take a minute, close your eyes. Remember when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you said, Jesus, your way, not mine anymore. When you confessed your need for a Savior because you knew you were a sinner. And you said, Jesus, I need to be immersed into Christ. And someone immersed you into Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that moment. Because in that moment, God changed you. When you trusted Him instead of yourself, God changed you. He treats you as if your sins have been paid for, because they have. The horrible penalty of sin is no longer upon you. The wrath of God, the anger of God, no longer is directed at you. And your Father reaches out and He takes hold of you and He pulls you close and He said, I've been working so long to draw you to myself. I'm so glad you're here. I've been looking for this moment for so long. I have a daddy's heart for you. And I'm keeping you. This describes your position in Christ. You are saved, adopted, kept by God, no longer separated from Him. That's the justification piece. Go to the next row. I am being sanctified. That is, I am being changed. God helps me take on more of Christ-like character and put off more of my sin character. Romans 8 and 12. In the present, what does that mean? It means I am being saved from the power of sin to rule over me. I am in the lifelong process of being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Sin no longer rules me. The Holy Spirit does. If you are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit. You ever watch a little kid trying to keep in step with, you know, daddy or mama? And they're watching how daddy does it, and after... after a little bit, they got it. We're walking with daddy, like daddy does. But there's going to be mistakes in the process. Same with us in a relationship. Try as you might, some things in your life will come back on you time and time again. Is that true? Yeah. Okay? When that happens, I want you to say the truth. I'm an idiot. Don't say that. I want you to say the truth. I belong to my Father. Okay? If you have a negative voice, I'm going to call it this. A critical parent voice. Parent just meaning authority of some sort. A critical parent voice that says, you know, how many times have I told you? You'll never get all this negative talk. And you need to stand up and say, that is not my name. My name is chosen. I live chosen. I made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. Amen? Amen? Okay, everybody stand up. Oh, hear the moaning and groaning. Oh. Okay. Envision yourself, you have just blew it. You sinned. You may have premeditated this sin. You've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks. You finally gave in, and now you're ready to just bomb yourself. You're ready to say, I am no, okay? In that moment, raise your hand like this. Point the finger, okay? You're pointing the finger at Satan, and you're reminding him. You're reminding him, no. Say no. Good. No.
No.
I belong to my Father.
I belong to my Father.
He's keeping me. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see? That's how you speak truth. I live chosen. Right. Okay? And if you don't do that, that tape will play over and over, that old message tape, that old authority voice will just keep reminding you how much you are not, and you'll start buying it again. And then you'll start living like you're unchosen, rejected. But the gospel, see, there's power in the gospel, brothers and sisters. Hear it, live it, believe it. God is keeping you. Yes, God is keeping you. You may be seated. Okay, justified describes my position in Christ, and sanctified describing my condition in Christ. I am in Christ. I'm becoming more and more like Him. No, I'm not sinless, but I'm learning to sin less as time goes by. And if I'm sinning less, then I'm being more like Christ. Okay, now classes are good. I'm all about classes and small groups and training and information, but information not practiced is not transformation. And so when you get something new, live it out, obey it. That's what transforms you, because the Holy Spirit meets you there, giving you His power to do what Scripture says. To know you are being changed by God first means that you were once an object of God's anger as a sinner, and now you are no longer there. God put all His anger against sinners on Christ, 1 Peter 3:18, so that He could then apply His love and forgiveness to you. God, the Holy Spirit, now lives in you, and He empowers you to live by His word. As you live by His word, you take on more and more of Christ's character as you learn to replace your self-centered thoughts, words, and actions with God-honoring thoughts, words, and actions. Here's the key. Because your relationship with God has been restored, and because Jesus died to save you from the penalty of your sins, past, present, and future, you have the assurance that God is keeping you. This truth releases you, here it is, hear nothing else today, hear this. This truth releases you of the fear of rejection from God. This gives you the freedom to try obedient steps up to this point you've been resistant to. Let's pray this truth into our hearts and take new steps of obedience. Father, we ask today, Lord, we're ready to try new steps. Help each one of us in our own hearts know that You will not reject us. Because You established Christ's death as the total and full payment of our sin against You. When we enter into that covenant, we enter into a brand new relationship with You, one that does not reject. May we stand in confidence in that, as You tell us in Hebrews 4:16. That we can know for sure that You will not turn Your face away when we fail as we try new things. But Father, help us to remember, help us to know, help us to experience You drawing us closer to Yourself, always and ever. You're never finished with us. That fear would not anymore rule the day. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. Amen. As I was learning that God was keeping me, and I still am learning that, the fear of rejection began crumbling away and was gradually replaced with assurance and confidence. I saw myself change in this way. I could really see, here's one of my biggest fear points as a people pleaser, okay? I grew up as a people pleaser, and that went into my ministry, into all, when I was a mechanic, everywhere in my life. When someone would say, Delbert, I need to talk to you, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Probably all of you. And so then we would sit down and they would begin telling me something, a correction for me or something I did that was hurtful, whatever it be. In the past, it would be, Dilbert, use lots of words to try to explain yourself, to defend yourself, to somehow get them to figure out that I really wasn't being mad or mean. I was just trying to, and you just go crazy. I learned God was changing me when I would sit there and look at the person and say inside of myself, using lots of emotional energy to do this, keep looking at their eyes. Keep hearing what they're saying. Don't say anything. Don't interrupt. Just try to really hear their heart. Hear their heart, Delbert. Hear their heart. Oh, this is so hard. I'm so scared. I know, but this is, God is here. He's with you. And over time, that fear got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And now, it's not very often anymore, Delbert, I need to talk to you, doesn't trigger me. God is changing me to be more like Christ. There's not a better way to love someone than to say, do you have anything more you'd like to tell me about that? And really hear deeply what another human being wants to say to you. That's a great way to love someone. God is changing me. I'm excited about it. It's hard, but it's life. Okay, it's hard, but it's life. Why don't you say that? It's hard, but it's life. That's right. It's hard, but it's life. Think about a Christian you know well. What evidence lets you know that that person is being changed by God? What are you seeing happening in that person's life that's saying that person is being changed? Take a minute to share with the person next to you some evidence that you see in another person's life that that person is changing. Go ahead. Now share about yourself. What do you see in yourself that's being changed? And have that discussion with someone this afternoon. Talk about, what is God changing in me? Maybe it's an inner journal you're writing down. God, what are you changing in me? And write down the evidence of what you see. God has for you a life beyond you, whatever you can imagine today. Me being under a semi, grease falling in my face, turning wrenches, cussing, mad, hot. Imagining that guy up here preaching? Not even. Yet here I am. God is changing me. God is changing you. God wants you to know how you can receive the gift of a restored relationship with Him. First of all, choose to listen to Him. In a variety of ways, maybe you're here for the first time and you're saying, whoa, I've not heard this stuff before. Listen. Let him who has ears hear the good news of God. Maybe you listen to Christian radio. Turn to the Christian radio station. 93.3, 91.1, 88.5, whatever other ones we know. Listen to those. And hear God. Secondly, believe Jesus truly is the only begotten Son and that He is seeking you out right now, this very moment. Thirdly, confess that you have sinned against God, God's ways. Confession is really acknowledgement or agreement. God, I agree with you. I've sinned against your ways. And then secondly, confess that only Jesus can save you because He's the only one God accepts payment from. Only Jesus can save me. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Number four, repent. It means to realign your life with God's values every day of your life. Being teachable and correctable. An ongoing attitude of that. And then finally, be baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. That's how you receive the gift of restored relationship with God. Worship team, come on up. How are we going to respond to God today? First of all, know that God is changing you to become more like Christ and that He is keeping you. God is keeping you. All right? We're talking about a following faith, having the strength, the assurance, the confidence that God is keeping you. And because of that, you can risk trying new things. Powerful. This is powerful life. Look out, Satan. Here we come, ready or not. So step by step, we follow Him. Amen? This morning, if you need Jesus Christ in some way, Christian or maybe this is your first time to church, respond to him. You can come up here with me. You can go to the back where several will be there to greet you. And you can pray with them.